We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events, the list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen TPFL. It's Tuesday. It's November 24th. It's 2020. We're going to talk about the three-game Thanksgiving slate on today's podcast. I'm joined by my good buddy, the Turd Ferguson, Grant Genefro 7. How are you doing, my friend?
Not too bad. It's always a great day on Thanksgiving where we have two good enough slates. There's always a bunch of promos. I've already placed $1,000 in sports bets just because of all the promos that were rolling through. So it's a wonderful, wonderful time of year. And I am, in fact, a big turkey person, mostly because I love smothering it in half a pound of gravy.
Now, are you regular turkey or deep fried turkey?
I'll eat it either as long as it's smothered in gravy. That's pretty much my only main thing. And I found out that you can just buy gravy in the stores. I mean, it's not great, but it's good enough, and it's terrible for me.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's not as good as, like, mama's gravy that she makes, but it works. So I like turkey either way as well. I'm the same way. My family's, like, ham and turkey, so, like, I get ham. I like to smother my ham in, like, applesauce. So I'm kind of curious, listeners, what do you guys like for, like, turkey and ham? And what is your favorite dessert for, like, Thanksgiving? Like, what's your favorite dessert?
Sweet potato casserole. Not even. Marshmallows, nuts, sweet potatoes, crazy amounts of sugar. It's beautiful to me.
I make it all the time. Like, I don't even just make it on Thanksgiving. I make it all the time.
If I could cook, I would.
Yeah, like I'm down for a good old fashioned, like, homemade pumpkin pie. My stepmom makes it every year, so, like, that's my jam with some whipped cream on top. Like, that's my jam, Grant. Enough with the food talk because I'm already hungry. It's 11 o'clock on the East Coast, and I haven't ate yet anything, so, like, I'm already hungry. So we got to stop talking about food. So let's talk some football. We got three games. These are three interesting football games. You know, we're recording on Monday or Tuesday morning, so a lot can happen with injury news. We're always kind of looking at it more of a first look anyway. We get started with Houston at Detroit, 51 total, Houston favored by 3. Let's start with the Houston side. We know Cobb is out. We know David Johnson's out. Kenny Stills is questionable. What are we looking at here on Houston?
I mean, for Houston, it's mostly like Duke Johnson's fine play. Detroit is not really a great defensive team. Look at their DVO ranks on the year, and they're both bad against the pass and the run. They're just overall bad defense. I think more going to be targeting the passing game. It's Fuller, it's Cooks, like with Cobb being injured, with Stills possibly not being in there. Maybe you can take a shot on Coutier. He is a guy that's shown a little bit of upside in the past, but like mostly for me, it's going to be Cooks and Fuller. Like they're the main part of this passing attack. They have 27 implied team total. They're going to be passing ball a decent amount. They're only a 3-point favorite here. It's Thanksgiving. It's a short week. Weird things happen. But it's Cooks and Fuller for me. Like Watson, I assume, is going to be one of the chalkier guys on the slate. I think I might be going elsewhere a little bit more, but he definitely will be in my lineups and some game stacks. But yeah, it's not really a ton to love here outside of the passing attack. Duke Johnson really hasn't been great in his full-time role so far. Disappointed 2 weeks in a row, still getting a decent amount of volume, but not getting the massive pass game workload that I was hoping he would end up getting. So Cook, Fuller, Watson is pretty much what I'm going with on the Houston side.
See, I love Watson. I think he's the top quarterback play on the slate, but I also think he's going to be the most popular quarterback on the slate. So I completely understand that as well. You know, Detroit allows the most fantasy points to running backs. I think Duke Johnson's in a great spot here. Maybe he will show up and have a good game. I think Fuller and Cooks, if Kiki Coté, if like Stills is out, Kiki Coté becomes very interesting. Jordan Akins is interesting as well. You know, just kind of looking at like tight ends on this slate. Mark Andrews is probably the best tight end play on this slate overall. But, you know, if you want to be different, or if Mark Andrews doesn't play, I think Akins is in play, you know, because I like a lot of people will probably pay down and go like Logan Thomas if they pay down. So on the Detroit side of things, what a just awful football game by Detroit in general against Carolina last week. So we look for them to, you know, bounce back here. We know that Matthew Stafford is dealing with an injury in his thumb. That's always concerning. You know, we have to see if Swift is going to be back. You know, he's in concussion protocol. He was limited Monday, so that's good progress. Galladay, Hockenson, Amendola. We have a lot of question marks when it comes to the Detroit side, but this is a great spot, Grant. We got a team that is last against the run in DVOA, bottom half against the pass, 28th overall. They don't get a lot of sacks. Like, this is a great spot for Detroit.
Yeah, no, and just it all comes down to injury. It's really tough to kind of dissect right now. If Swift's in the game, I love Swift. Like, Houston's run D is not good. Swift was looking great before he got that concussion. If he's back in full go, like, it's not like a concussion, it's a lingering injury. So if anything, he'll probably just – he's essentially a guy that has gotten an extra 3 days of rest if he clears concussion protocol. So if Swift's in there, absolutely love him. If Swift's not in there, I think take a flyer on AP. Like, I know that Kerryon Johnson got a decent workload, but the AP always has a chance at a double touchdown game. Like, everyone's going to be looking at his stats and seeing, oh, he just did terrible last game. I don't really care. It's Houston. It's a horrible run defense. As for the passing game, like, if Hockenson plays, I really like him, especially if Galladay ends up being out. If Galladay's out, if Hockenson's out, if Amendola's out, I mean, you just run Cephas, Hall, Marvin Jones Jr. Hall and Cephas both offer a ton of value here. I don't think I'm going Stafford regardless. So there are some ways where he ends up crushing value here, but he just really hasn't done it all season long. Yes, he's sitting there at 5.8K, but we got some decent quarterbacks on this slate that I would much rather go with. So it's the cheap wide receiver pieces pending any potential like injury news, and it's Swift if he ends up playing, and that's the main spots for me over on Dallas or Detroit.
Yeah, unfortunately, Detroit, you're just gonna have to take the like wait and see approach. Like, half the team is questionable on Monday's injury report. So if Swift plays, he's probably my top running back on the slate. So I want him to play. He's up there because I like Gibson a lot too, assuming that Gibson plays. So but yeah, like we'll have to see on Galladay. We'll have to see on like Marvin Jones is probably going to get his targets regardless. I think he's, you know, a safer play at his price. everybody's kind of free on this slate, and you could pretty much build whatever you want. You know, pricing is really weak on this slate, so that's obviously concerning. But yeah, I think Detroit, we're gonna have to wait and see what the injuries look like. But you know, if for some reason Hockenson doesn't play, Jesse James becomes interesting. Moving on here, we got Washington at Dallas. 46 total, Dallas favored by 3 in this one. Not a ton of injury news in this game. You know, as far as like the other game, we'll start with the Washington side. Gibson and McLaurin both didn't practice on Monday. It could just be like limiting their reps because they're having to do so much here. Dallas plays it at such an extremely fast pace that, like, Grant, we have to like Washington in this spot.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen what Alex Smith can do if he ends up passing the ball 50 times. Like, this, Dallas is a perfect team for them to play. He's going to get a big, big volume increase here. So, like, if McLaurin ends up playing, I'll definitely play McLaurin. I mean, it's just the same thing every single week. But if Gibson ends up sitting, McKissick's a fantastic play, especially over on DraftKings. Full point PPR is going up against Dallas. Dallas run defense has not been good so far this season, been absolutely shredded recently. Like, they are a team that you can target against all the time. And if McKissick's going to end up being the guy there, we know that he's a big safety blanket for Alex Smith. But either one of these running backs, if they both end up playing, are in play here just because of the massive amount of pass volume that they may end up seeing in this spot. So I like Alex Smith. I love McLaurin. You can take a shot on either one of the Sims if you really want to. But for me, it's a pretty condensed offense, and it's in one of the best matchups on the board here. So Smith, whichever running back you feel like, and McLaurin are some of the best plays on the entire slate.
Yeah, obviously, if McLaurin sits, we're going to have to look at these cheap guys.
If McLaurin sits, then we pretty much have to hammer in bits and pieces all over the place of this entire passing attack. It's going to be infuriating, delightful, and excruciating.
Oh, yeah. I think even if Gibson plays, I think McKissick is an interesting tournament play. Regardless, you know, I think this is one of the best spots for running backs on the slate. And, like, we know, like, the type of upside that McKissick has. Like, they got down in that Detroit game, and, like, he had, like, 15 targets. Like, so I think McKissick is a guy that you could look at even if Gibson plays, just to kind of be different. Like, the guy has 15-plus point upside. Even if Gibson's in there, if Gibson's out, like, McKissick becomes the play. Like, and like, it would be a situation where you don't even think twice about, right, Grant? You just would plug him in there. Like,
it's the volume alone and the matchup and the pace. Like, it makes it an auto locking mode for me.
Dallas on the other side of this game, like, Washington defense has been legit this season. Are we expecting, like, Zeke's the biggest running back name on the slate, and he's under 7K. Do we expect him to be popular here?
I mean, a little bit. I don't know how much. Like, Connor's obviously a guy that hasn't been great. Duke Johnson has been great. Swift, I think, can change things around. If Gibson's out, like, that could change the ownership around. But, I mean, depending on how things end up going, it's a tough spot to say how chalky he's going to be. The last game going up against Washington, no one on this offense really did too much. Zeke only ended up with 6 fantasy points. I don't mind him here, but I think I would drastically prefer the Dallas passing attack. They had Dalton had a terrible game, obviously got injured last time going up against them. But, like, just the pace that they're running at, I think that, like, Gallup and Cooper are drastically underpriced still. Like, Gallup's in there at 3.5K. With Dalton in there, it's a big upgrade. He had a few drops in the last game against Minnesota, and he actually got a downgrade in price. Still 5, 7, 12 targets in the last 3 games. I really, really like his price tag at 3.5K, and everyone saw CeeDee Lamb have a decent game this last game, and I'm going back to Cooper because of it. They're around the same price tag. I'm fine with using either of them, but I still think that this Dallas passing attack is a little underrated because of the way that the game kind of played out last time. Dalton didn't end up throwing it nearly as much as he should have. I like Dalton. Dalton's probably my favorite on the slate here, favorite QB on the slate. I don't think he's going to draw too much ownership. I really like Dalton in the spot.
Yeah, I think he will potentially be lower owned on a 3-game slate. So I completely understand where you're coming from on that one. And like, again, like, everybody's kind of cheap, like, in general on this slate. I think Cooper is probably the safest play of the group. I think CeeDee Lamb has the highest ceiling of the group. Like, the guy is just really good. Michael Gallup's a guy that could have big games too. So, like, you have three legit wide receiver options to pair with Dalton if you're playing him. And you could potentially even look at, like, Schultz to be different. So a lot of different ways. Yeah, it's just a lot of ways to be different if you're looking on the Dallas side of this game. So I like it. I think it's interesting, especially on a slate like this. And, you know, you look at how fast Dallas plays, like, the points are going to have the opportunity to get there. So
it was nearly 60 in the last game.
And like Dallas, this game's in Dallas too. Wasn't a game that they played in Washington, like, didn't it have some weather and stuff too?
It had some weather. Like, it was Dalton's, like, second start. I don't know. Like,
he got hurt.
I'm not trusting a one game sample size. Like, if you're relying on that too much, it's generally a problem. I don't think that they're gonna have a problem here. And I mean, we know Cooper splits home versus road. They're just ridiculous. So yeah, everyone's going to look at that last start and just try and fade Dallas players. I think that's a massive mistake.
Yeah, let's get the red rocket. Let's get him out here and let's get him tossing the ball around. So we finish with the game of the day. Like, this is the game of the day as far as, like, football games go. You have two really good teams, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, 45 total, Pittsburgh favored by 4. DFS-wise, this is probably, like, one of those games you got two really good defenses, Grant. Like, we have four really three really mediocre defenses. Washington's kind of played good on defense this season. Baltimore and Pittsburgh, like, 45 total. Let's start on the Baltimore side of things. Ingram and Dobbins, COVID, they're out. Mark Andrews, again, like, this could be just limiting his practice reps, but he kind of is dealing with a thigh injury. I fully expect Mark Andrews to play. Let's talk about the Baltimore side. What are we looking at here on the Ravens?
On the Ravens, it's kind of tough to figure out here. Gus Edwards, obviously, it's in there at 4K with Dobbins and with Ingram out. It looks like he's going to be the main guy in this offense. Like, obviously, Justice Hill card could end up doing something. I don't know exactly. I'm expecting Gus to be fairly chalky. On a three-game slate, I'm mostly fading it. There's lots of other running backs on the slate that can absolutely crush his value. Like, AP can crush his value. It's going up against Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's probably one of the best defenses, maybe the best defense in the entire league. I'm planning on using Lamar Jackson, probably just using him naked. If I am going to pair him with someone, you're not going to like this answer, but I think the guy to pair him with is Willie Snead. Is that crazy?
I don't think it's crazy at all.
Okay, good.
Yeah, he has at least 7 targets in 3 of the last 4 games. Why is that crazy?
I don't know. I hate playing Snead and Bay. Like,
well, you hate playing any of the pass catchers for Baltimore. Let's be honest.
Yeah, that's a fair response there. Yeah, no, I mean, especially if Andrews ends up missing, then I'm probably going to be on Lamar Jackson even more. Like, I think the rushing upside is definitely there. His last game versus Pittsburgh didn't really have the greatest outing, but still had 65 rushing yards. He's underwhelmed all season long. People probably aren't going to use him, but I'm playing Lamar Jackson. I'm probably pairing him with Willie Snead because I don't think a ton of people are going to be on him. I think that people still will go to Marquise Brown, but it's Lamar Jackson and Snead here in this game, and I'm fading Gus Edwards because against the Pittsburgh defense, any running back can just get destroyed.
You know, just kind of overall looking at the running back situation here. So Ingram missed the first game against Pittsburgh, and like Dobbins and Edwards both crushed. Like, they ran all over Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh run defense is really good, like really good. You know, they allow the second fewest fantasy points to running backs per game, and they're 6 in DVOA. Like, it's a tough spot, but in cash games, you're playing Gus Edwards. Like, don't overthink it. Like, you're just playing him. In tournaments, I could definitely see being underweight. I could see being overweight, too. I definitely could see going either way with Edwards here. As far as, like, the pass catchers, I think one of the most interesting plays on this slate is Dez Bryant. Like, he's super cheap. we know the ability that this guy has. I need to go back and like look at, you know, some of the opportunities that he had last week. He had 5 targets. He had 4 catches. It looks like a lot of it was short stuff, but I just need to go back and like watch some of that game just to, you know, get an idea. But I think Willie Snead's really interesting, but like I was shocked by the targets that Dez had, and like Hollywood Brown had 3-0 catches last week. So like, I got to go back and watch some of this Baltimore game. I'll be honest. I didn't really watch the Baltimore game. I didn't have a lot of vested interest in Baltimore, Tennessee last week. So didn't really watch it. So
I had the Tennessee money line. So I pretty much watched the entire thing and had money on Derrick Henry to score a touchdown, but
boom, late touchdown, get there. I like it.
Yeah. No, that, and Tennessee plus the points, Tennessee money line and Henry touchdown. It was literally the perfect scenario in overtime. But
couldn't have been any better for you.
Yeah, I don't generally get too excited about winning a bet, but when you pop off 3 on a meaningless, or when I thought they were going to hit a field goal, like, yeah, I got a little excited there. But yeah, Dez actually looked pretty good. I think he had 1 drop too, so he almost went 5 for 5. He's a big enough guy, like he's still strong enough where he can break one off or break off a tackle. So I like that Dez play a lot. I think that he's probably going to continue to be decently heavily targeted in this offense.
The Pittsburgh side, Baltimore defense, they're good too. Let's be honest, they're good defense. They're 3rd in rush DVOA, 10th in pass. Listen, Ben, I think like you just attack this the way that you've been attacking Pittsburgh all year, right? Like you probably stay away from the running game and you play – 1 or 2 of Johnson, Claypool, Juju, and Ebron. Like, you know, you obviously can play Ben here too, but I think some of the quarterbacks in the earlier games have more upside. But you look at it and like Ben could throw 4 touchdowns and be outscored by some of these other quarterbacks just because they get the rushing upside. But you have to have interest in Ben because like these pass catchers are just so good. Like they're all good. Johnson, Claypool, and Juju, they're all good.
Yeah. No, I mean, I've literally taken the same exact thing on every single slate this entire year with Pittsburgh on it. Let's play about 5 to 10% Big Ben, double stack him with 2 pass catchers, Ebron, Juju, Claypool, Johnson. It's a super simple strategy. Like every single week he has a possibility of going off. He's put over 40 pass attempts in each of the last 3 weeks. It's the way this offense works. Like the amount of volume, especially going up against such a good Baltimore run D, I think that they're going to end up passing the ball a ton. I expect huge volume for each of these guys. I expect 40 passing attempts by Big Ben. Don't care if it's a tough matchup. These matchups are always just fantastic. Every single Pittsburgh-Baltimore matchup in what the last 10 years has been amazing. I think this is going to be a great spot here. If you're betting, probably take Baltimore plus 4.5. I think Pittsburgh wins this outright, but by a field goal, like you always to kind of take the dog if they're more than a 3-point dog. Like that's just how these games go. So if you're sports betting, bet Baltimore plus 4.5 or plus 4. If you're playing
DFS, take the over.
The over is definitely a good bet here.
Like 45 seems really low for a Baltimore Pittsburgh game.
I mean, it's 2 great defenses, but still doesn't matter.
Yeah, right, like it's a division game. Baltimore is like they're running into the position where they're like they need to win games to make the playoffs in general, and like Pittsburgh's undefeated. Like this is going to be a great football game.
Yeah. Bet parlay the Ravens plus 4 in the over. Like on a lot of sites when you do same game parlays, if you bet the favorite and the over, then there's generally some negative correlation. A lot of sites give you true odds. So you get it. You can probably get it, I think, at plus 285 if you parlay those two together.
There you go. Let's play the morning grind game, and then we're going to get out of here for the Thanksgiving slate. We'll be back breaking down the main slate tomorrow as well. So, all right, Grant, let's start it off with a quarterback that you think can throw for 300-plus yards here.
Dalton.
I like it. I almost wrote that down. I figured that's who you're
going to go
with.
You know me right now.
I'm gonna go with Ben. Ben throws for 300 yards.
I like it.
The pass catchers are just too good. Give me a running back. We don't have ownership. Give me a lone running back for a touchdown.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone.
It's a three-game slate, you know.
So anyone other than Gus Edwards? I'm gonna go off the board and Adrian Peterson if Swift misses, which it kind of looks like he will. If not, McKissick. I don't know. It's impossible to know low own considering we don't know injuries.
Yeah, like honestly, it's tough in general. I don't think Duke Johnson will be low owned, but that's who I think is going to score touchdowns. So I'm taking.
That's fair.
Give me a quarterback wide receiver stack for a touchdown.
I'm going Dalton to Cooper.
Dalton and Cooper. I'm going to go Ben and Claypool. I should have noted that Juju missed practice on Monday. He tripped over the flag, like the weighted part of the flag, towards the end of the game and didn't return to the game on Sunday. They said he could have. So it's definitely something to kind of monitor, because if he's out, like, it just bumps up that passing game even more for some of these other guys. So wide receiver for 8+ targets. Who do you got?
Deontay Johnson.
I feel like that's a pretty safe bet.
Yep. That
guy is a target machine. I'm going to go with Brandon Cooks. Last week was, I think, the first week in a few weeks that he hasn't had 8+ targets. So I think this is a good spot for him to see really increased targets in this matchup. Tight end for a touchdown, not Mark Andrews.
I'm going Schultz, full on Dallas onslaught here, I guess.
I'll go to the other side of that game. I'll go Logan Thomas.
I like it.
And then finish this off with a defense that scores 10 or more points.
I'm going to go with the Texans. They're a bit too cheap here anyways. Stafford injuries, all the injuries could
end up happening
easily.
I don't think defense is going to matter this week unless somebody scores a touchdown. Give me I feel like Pittsburgh is chalk. I want Pittsburgh, but I'll take Washington just to be different. Like, I think Pittsburgh is – if you could pay up for them, I think they're the safest defense on the slate. But it's defense, it's fantasy, and it doesn't matter. Grant, any final thoughts on this slate before we get out of here?
I got none. Eat up on Thursday.
That's right. Thankful for everyone that listens to the podcast. We appreciate you guys. You know, definitely a time of the year that we should be thankful for a lot of things. So appreciate everyone listening. We'll be back tomorrow breaking down the main slate. Hope everyone has an awesome Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving slate. We'll see you guys again tomorrow.
Tickets.